Parshat Chukat has many, many different topics in it. Toward the end of the parsha, we have the description of the Shiras HaBe'er, the song that they sang over the well when a great miracle happened, which he has spoken about in the past. And we find in Source 1, and from there to the well, of which Hashem said to Moshe, assemble the people, and I will give them water. Then Yisrael sang the song, Ali Be'er Anula, come up a well, announce it. Well that the princes dug, that the nobles of the people excavated through a lawgiver with their staff, a gift from the wilderness. The gift went to the valley, and from the valley to the heights, and from the heights of the valley in the field of Moab at the top of the peak, overlooking the surface of the wilderness. And there are many ways of understanding the Shira, the song of Klal Yisrael. We know in source number 2, these verses trace the path of the well that followed the people wherever they went, no matter what the elevation or difficulty of the terrain. Following his interpretation that water is a metaphor for Torah, the Rechaim HaKadosh comments that the succession of places that go over higher alludes to the spiritual growth of one who devotes himself to the Torah. He continues to rise until he is even more elevated than the heavenly angels. This interpretation would follow Ibn Ezra's translation of Haggai as the height and not as the valley. And indeed, the Ayin Panim LaTorah, the paradise level of understanding the Torah on many different realms, that's not just a description of the way the well followed them, but that we can see this metaphorically as a description of Torah. It is with this in mind that I'd like to learn together one statement from the Gemara in Eruvin. It's a very famous line of the Gemara, and I'd like to look at it on three levels. And we'll say at the outset that when one learns this piece of Gemara, one would think that this is a reference to people learning Torah and to a melus b'Torah, and that's 100% correct. However, it's not limited to that, as we will see, and we will see that the lessons are relevant to all of us, men, women, children, and they are relevant not only to, obviously, to the learning of Torah, but to the living of Torah life, and we'll see that very clearly. Here's the Gemara source number 3. Umimidbar matana, a gift from the wilderness. If a man makes himself into a kind of wilderness that everyone can tread upon, then the Torah is a gift for him. The Hebrew is Kevan Shose Adam et Atzmo Kimibar Shumufkar Lako Torah Nitnalo B'Matana. Once it's given to him, then U'Mimatana Nachliel. Once it's given to him, he becomes a Nachliel, an heir of Hashem, and it continues as we see in source number 3. It's his first line in the Gemara that I'd like to try to learn together. If a person makes himself like a midbar, like a desert, and the desert is described as mufgar lakol, open, anyone can trample on it, then the Torah is given to you as a matana. And that's again learned from the words umimidbar matana. From midbar to matana, which is technically places, but obviously it's also expounded as a reference to Torah, the well being the water of Torah, that when you go from a level, philosophically, spiritually, psychologically, of a midbar, you will reach the level of being able to be given it, the Torah, as a matana. So our question is very simple. Again, on three levels, and there are many levels, we're just going to focus in on three. What is the aspect of making yourself a midbar, a desert? And what is the idea of getting it as a gift, as a matana, to try to be able to have some sense of how do we characterize this idea of a gift. And I'll tell you, my friends, we're going to learn, I say this every week, and Baruch Hashem we do, we're going to learn gewaltic, gewaltic insights that are very, very, very practical for our lives. Let's look at level number 1. Level number 1, the Datraga, Rav Shraga Grossbard points out the following. The Tosfos and the Rosh explain that this is a reference to Shemilame Torah Bechinam Lakol. What does it mean that you are mufkar, like you are open like the desert? It means that you teach Torah for free, which gets into a whole nother discussion, whether one can get paid for Torah, there's a distinction, whether it's learning the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah or Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral tradition, we're not going to enter into that discussion. Well, just understand that just like Hashem taught Torah for free, Mahu b'chinam, afata b'chinam, you too should teach Torah for free. What is this idea of just being Malame Torah for chinam? So Rav Grossbar notes in 5, Im kein tamua maya ma'alam yuchedet shel malamei b'chinam ad shenichshav al atzmo kemidbar v'zocheh shetorah tinatein lo kamatana. It has to be something much deeper than just teaching for free. Many people, right, the ways of getting paid, it's obviously not just technically, you know, are you getting paid for what you do? There's something much deeper going on here. And he says that this is perhaps a reference to what it describes, the famous general of David HaMelech's army, who's the head of Sanhedrin, Yoav ben Tzruya. By him it says, Vayikaver b'veito b'amibar. He was buried by his house in the desert. And there, Chazal learned out, in the Yalkut Shimoni, b'amibar, ma'amidbar mufkar lako, just like the desert is ownerless, Beit Yoav mufkar lako. Likewise, his house was ownerless, that it was open for the aniyim, for the poor people to come in there. Explains the Medrash the following. It wasn't just that Yoav would have an open house policy. No, it was much greater than that. When Yoav, who was the head general, would go out and fight, when he would bring back the booties and spoils of the war, he never kept anything for himself. Rather, he took the money and built bathhouses. He took the money and supported the poor people. He would do things for the community and community project. And that's why it doesn't describe Yoav's house as we've seen other houses, patuach lirvacha, that his house was open on all sides. Because when you have a house that's open on all sides, you still have the idea of a house. Where in the squiggly and six, the Baal HaBayit Margish Baaluto, that you feel you're the owner of the house, and that you are the one who's giving to the poor people. But to be a Bayit HaMufkar Kimibar, to be ownerless like the desert, Shebaal HaBayit Ein No Margish Shum Tchushat Baalut Al Beito Baal Chafetza, it's the idea that the person doesn't feel ownership on his house and what he owns. And anyone can come in and take whatever they want, and it is open to everyone. You know, if one has read the book by Rebbe Tzimachlis, and if you haven't, Emunah with Chicken Soup, or whatever it's called, you need to read the book. That's very much a modern-day example, where people just came in and took and did. It's mufkar lakol. You don't feel your own bailus. You don't feel like you are, you know, I give you permission to. And this is the much higher level that we need to reach when we're talking about teaching Torah. It's not just that you have to teach Torah for free. You have to be mufkar kemidbar. You have to be ownerless like the midbar. What does that mean? It means that the Rav have to give over kol mahuto mitziuto l'mana talmidim, to give over the entirety of your being to your students, and that you give over your own growth and your own advancement in your learning and your time for the benefit of your students. One who's able to do this, that's what it means that Torah is given to them as a matana. Indeed, he notes in Source 7, in the third paragraph, the Chasam Sofer writes that the Rebbe should be like a Malach Hashem Svakot. And in what way is a teacher like a Malach? Just like a Malach, an angel, described in Zechariah as being an Ome, Ben Hom Dima'ela, and not a Holech, one who walks. An angel doesn't progress, he stands where he is. So too a Rebbe may not be able to progress in his learning and his own development because he's so involved in giving to his students. That's the object. The object of a Rebbe is to be able to give Tafkido shel harav ha-melameh Torah no mitzav sein b'lulameh et ha-Torah v'anchilah l'tamidim. It doesn't begin and end just giving over information. Elo nidrash mimenu harbe yoter. Nidrash mimenu lafkir et atzmo et ha-gashmit v'taruchnit to elo l'tamidim. A real rabbi has to mufkar lakol, has to be able to give his time. That when a student calls him, he's available. If a student needs to speak, he gives him the time. He gives him the resources. He gives the student what he needs, or she gives the student what she needs in order to be able to advance in Avodas Hashem. Now, obviously, I'll say here, you'll say to me, but obviously, you know, boundaries and buts are important. You know, it reminds me of a maisa that happened many years ago when my younger daughter, 9, 10 years old, was on a phone call with a student. It was a shidduch crisis, and she wanted my attention. And I turned to her and I said, Chanela, you know, Ima's helping Klal Yisrael now. And without batting an eye, she says, Ima, I'm also part of Klal Yisrael. And she's right. And you have to find time, and you have to be able to balance. And there has to be both there. And you have to find times when the kids are not awake. That's what I've learned. To make these phone calls that get up at 3 in the morning, and you're mufka lakol. Yes, it may come out on your own sleep, but, you know, at least in Eretz Yisrael, with the time difference, I'm able to do that, to find the time that it's not going to infringe on the family, and be able to give to one students, and students know that you're accessible, you know, and be able to, you know, not necessarily drop of a hat. If it's not a convenient time, you'll call them back. But be able to be accessible where they know that you're there for them. And this, you know, could be years later where a student comes back to you. It's not just students that you're teaching now. This is anyone you've ever impacted, young and old, in your life. However, my friends, and this is a very important, however, Anashim Shomnam Oskim in the asterisk in A, B'Tarav Oskim B'Lilimot Tarav L'Pitz L'Cherim. One who's involved in teaching others, one who's involved in inspiring others, if they're only focused on their students and on their yeshiva, we've missed the boat as well. A real melamed, and this includes any Ben Torah or Bas Yisrael, any individual who's part of Klal Yisrael, you can't only think about those immediately surrounding you that you impact. You have to be thinking about Klal Yisrael. Misha Sharui B'machshavo Na'alot Elu, only one who's thinking about these thoughts, who's not focused in on self and how can I further just myself. V'mufkar Atzmo L'chol Kamidbar, and he's really giving of his time and her time and energy. Eino Chadel M'lachsho M'machshavo V'l'tafseis Eitzot Ech L'arbot Torah B'Yisrael. You're constantly thinking, how can I make this world a more Torah-dicker world? V'ech l'arbo k'vol chamayim, how can I bring more glory of God into this world? V'enu chas al otzmo klal, chesed ma'isim tovim zormim mitocho b'shefa. And when you start thinking about Klal Yisrael, you start thinking, well, maybe I should do this project. Maybe I can help shiduchim in this way. Maybe I can help this chesed organization. Maybe I can... And you start thinking and thinking. You know, when you're up late at night, and there's obviously a lot to think about, and the first and foremost is yourself and your family and how you can help them, for sure. Then, don't go to sleep just yet. Now think, how can I help my neighbor's children? How can I help in the community? How can I help beyond them? You know, I just had this conversation just 2 days ago. I was at a bris, and I walked out with somebody who I don't even know, who said, can I ask your advice on... what to do with children who are not diagnosed in kindergarten with certain issues, and then it comes out in second and third grade, when if it was just nipped in the bud, things would be different. So I started speaking to her about her children, about what ages. She says, you know, you don't get the point. She says, like, I'm not only worried about my kids, I'm worried about, you know, other people's kids who fought through the cracks. So I said to her, okay, if this is really a concern of yours, like you're really serious about it, so raise some money, create sadnaot, create workshops for teachers to know about X issue or Y issue, whatever issues you feel that are not necessarily kindergarten teachers exposed to, and run programs for them. And, you know, so she looked at me and she said, well, it's a good idea. Okay, let's see if she does it. Right? Think, like, how can you be creative in being able to think not of your own children, like this woman was concerned, what about everyone else's kids? And if you're really concerned about it, then go out. And if you don't have the means to do it, then you get help and you garner strength and you'll be able to create. And that's how anything good happens. We see from here that if you're a great Talmid Chacham and all you think about is your own yeshiva and your own students, you've missed the boat. You have to be muchan laseit b'torach hatzibur kulo. This is what the whole essence of Yiddishkeit is about. Listen to what he says here. I thought this was gevald at the end of 9. Meichan someach ha'ergeshel hefker kamibar. Where do you get this? That you're ready to be able to give of your time and sweat and toil for other people, to be able to build, to be able to create kiddushin shemayim in this world. It's recognizing whether you're in official chinuch or not, education or not. You recognize, what is my purpose here in this world? I'll tell you, the purpose of our existence in this world is kiddushin shemayim, is sanctifying God's name. The pasuk b'feirush in Parshas Emor says, v'nikdashti b'tof b'nei Israel, and I shall be sanctified among the people of Israel. And that means being able to sanctify God's name in public. When it talks about the Nidashti, you should be sanctified. What does sanctification mean? It means, we know, Rashi tells us, Kedusha and Kedusha Laprishos. It's separation. It's distinction. Mima Adam Sarich Lifros. From what do you have to separate yourself? Listen to this. Ma'atzmo, from yourself. Mecheshbonot enochayim upiniyot kol shehem. Just thinking about, how could I do it better for me? What will I gain from it? Me. V'lefkir etzmo, b'avur haklo. Be able to give over for others. That has to be your mindset. As the Omosher of Shaina points out in 11, he says, like, yeah, here, a great vor. Don't keep it for yourself. Like, go out and share with other people. Let them also enjoy it. Like, your whole focus has to be on, how can I create greater Kvod Shemayim in this world? And that's our mindset. And that's what we're constantly thinking about. And you know, it reminds me of an individual, well, I won't mention by name, a young fellow who, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, created a shul, then created a yeshiva for boys, and is now working on a hospital. This is a person who says, what are the community needs, and how do we deal with them? So when the community was young, the first thing was an Anglo shul. Now the community is a little bit bigger, what do we need? A yeshiva. Now that the community, Baruch Hashem, is growing by leaps and bounds, all you see, they say that the bird of Israel is a crane, because all you see are cranes, you know, that are on every hilltop. Yeah, everywhere, Beit Shemesh particularly, building nonstop. Yeah, you need to be able to give the resources for this. Schools, hospitals. This is it. How can I think of what the next step is? A gevaldic example of this, the Ol Moshe brings, is Yoshua ben Nun. And we mentioned this a few weeks ago. We'll focus on it a little bit more. Amru Chazal, Harbei shiratcha, harbei chalak l'chakava. What was the greatness of Yoshua that he was the one deserving to take over Moshe Rabbeinu's job? Because Chazal tells us he was a mashari. He served Moshe Rabbeinu. In what way? So Chazal say, sider et asaf salim. He set up the benches. Paras et hamachlotzot. He set up the carpets in order for the people to learn. So obviously Yoshua was involved in learning 24/7 with all of his ability. But you want to know the greatness of Yoshua? Ach hifkir atzmo, double underlined by the dot in 10, litovat harabim lahachshiran litarat, ubishul zeh zacha gam l'chochma yiterah kimimimibar matana. He wasn't only interested in himself. He was interested in how to create Torah for other people. And as Rav Scheinerman points out in his footnote 12a, b, and c, he says, what was the godless of setting out the mats for people to learn? It was his ben otam l'chaveiro. Yoshua higia l'siim b'lti yiduim b'chol ha'netinak b'rason, and all his giving. Kol kulo haya shakua and bi ech l'kadeim. He was always interested. How can I go further? How can I l'shaper ruchinoteim shabai beit ha'medrash? How can I make it more comfortable for those who are going to learn? Kol kulo haya natum b'seder avodat ha'netina ha'chesed. His whole being was focused on giving, on chesed for another person. The ben adam l'chaveiro. So when a person would come into the Beis Medrash, do you need a sitter? Do you need a chumash? Do you need a place to sit? Do you need a cup of water? This is the greatness of Yoshua. He's trying to figure out how it would be easier for these people to go learn Torah. And what was the reward of Yoshua? Pasuk tells us, for Yoshua binun malei ruach chochma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a shefa chochma yetera min hashamayim kifkir atzmo leman limud Torah lachal. See, people believe, you know, if I'm constantly, and everything's within balance, and I agree with you. A person believes, if I constantly am giving to others, so I'm never going to have time to learn myself, I'm never going to have time to grow. That's what we're saying. Umimidbar matana. You give to others. That's why I call this shir, the dessert, desert desserts. When you give to others, you get the dessert. You become the matana. God will give you that wisdom. He'll give you that ability. And Rabosai, this is something that we can teach our own children. Whether it's boys in a Beis Medrash, if you see a boy looking for Sfarim, a certain Sefer, and you know where the Sfarim are, go over and help the boy find the Sefer. And again, it would be Bittul Torah. This is what all has to be balanced. There's also a ben adam l'chaveiro aspect, right? Obviously, everything in balance. In shul, you could be training your young girls who go to shul. If you see somebody walk into shul and they're looking for a chumash, you're looking for a sitter, there's a simcha in shul, there's not enough chumashim or sidurim on the side that your daughter is sitting or you're sitting. So go to the other side of shul and move some over so that all the guests will have. This is what it's about. But training people, there are enough chairs. Training people to think beyond themselves, my own davening, and my own learning. What are the needs of others? Being mufkar lakol, being able to give up your time, of your energy, and be able to help other people. That's what it's about. And it may be, and this is why it's so relevant, to be mufkar lakol may be a mother. And again, I can't emphasize enough, everything has to be within balance, with an understanding. And we all have seichel for that. But it could be a mother with young kids on a Shabbos afternoon where she'll still get a nap in, where her kids are just flying around doing nothing. What would it take to run a group? If you have groups in your community, you might talk about nothing. But let's say there are no groups in your community. So what would it take to do a round robin, or even if no one else wants to do it, for you to do it, that you have a snack, and you have a game, and you have a story, again, depending on the age, and you can vary it from child to child, however you want to do it, but you create an activity for your child. It's going to take away from my Shabbos rest. Mufkar lakol, at what expense? This is what it's about. Can you create greater kvod shamayim in this world? Can you be able to inspire children to make Shabbos a day of kedusha, a day of learning, a day of simcha, a day of structured activity? So this is what it's about. Mukdash means to be separate from what? From your own desires. Ugh, I'm too tired. Who has time to prepare? Who has time to and patience with all these kids and to play games with them? Mimidbar matana, the greatest gift you can give yourself and your family is to be a midbar, and is to teach that aspect of midbar to your children as well. And indeed, the old Moshe adds in 14a, where he says, a gevaldik vort from a Moshe Chavronik. He says, we know, halomed almanat lulame, if you learn in order to teach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's maspiki biyado, he enables you to learn and to teach. And he says, this is similar to giving tzedakah. By tzedakah it says that if a person wants to give tzedakah, then even if he doesn't have mamsi lo maus, Hashem will find him the means to be able to give if this is really what he wants. And the same is true in ruchnias. If you, in spirituality, if you really want to give to others, if you really want to share what you have, then even if you don't have the capabilities, if this is your real desire, Hashem will give you those capabilities. Hashem will give you those insights. If your desire is to be able to step outside of self, you'll be given this gift. And that's why he notes in 14b, this is really the mita keneged mita. When you're ready to give as a matana, as a gift, what you have, your resources, your talents, your time, your energy to other projects, Hashem will give you in response a matana, a gift of insight, a gift of understanding, a gift ability to give over. So if you say, well, you want me to run a Shabbos group? I wasn't one of those who ran groups as a kid. I wasn't one of those camp counselors. This is not me. You'll have that gift. You'll have that tiyata d'shmaya. You put yourself into that position, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bench you. Final idea on this first level, which will then segue us into the second level. There's another pasuk at the beginning of our parsha, which is very much related, the Mefarshim speak about, to our inyan. And that's the inyan by Paraduma. And it goes through the laws and the red heifer of Tuma and Tara, purity and impurity. So one of the pasukim, very famous pasuk, is Zot HaTorah, this is the Torah, the teaching. Adam ki yamut ba'ohel, a person who dies in a tent. And literally, it's talking about the halachas of a person who's found inside of a building. You know, what are the qualifications? What becomes tameh? What becomes tahor? I was just at Shari Tzedek this week. My daughter was pointing out to me that there's a sign. You know, ink ni sala konim. Konim can't come in. Or konim can't come in. There's a sign by the entrance where they flip it around. Right? There are halachas ad hayom hazeh of tuma and of tahara. So Chazal again learn Adam ki yamut ba'ohel, Zot HaTorah, Adam ki yamut ba'ohel. This is a teaching. Why Zot HaTorah? Because the whole idea of Torah is Torah can only be preserved, the Gemara Shabbos, Pagim Omid Beis, by a person who's willing to kill himself for it. Very famous idea, Zot HaTorah. You want to know what Torah is? Adam ki yamut ba'ohel. You have to, mamish, kill yourself for Torah. So one of the explanations he brings here in Rabbi Frant, in The Power of Word, his newest sefer on the Parsha, a Torah institution of any sort, whether Yeshiva or Beis Yaakov, can only succeed if someone involved is ready to kill himself for it, i.e., here's the key, to negate his ego entirely. A builder of Torah cannot be busy with who will get the credit for the success of the institution, said Reb Nachum. Only a person who's not in it for his own glory or power can truly build Torah. That's mufkar lakol. That's what it means to be like a midbar. It's not about me. It's not about my name. It's not about my honor. It's about that this should get done. And that brings us, my friends, to the second level. So again, the first level is mufkar kemidbar, is you have to give yourself over like Yoav. It wasn't that his house was open to all sides. He didn't have a house. Obviously, he did. In his mind, it was like a midbar. It was like a desert, which means anyone could come in. I don't own bailus. And when I give to others, it's not like I make them feel like, oh, I just gave you 20 minutes of my time. Can you believe I just spent 20 minutes with you? It's, b'simcha I will give you of my time. B'simcha I will give you what you need. Being able just to have it flow from you. And I've seen this with mechanchot, who will, you know, have a large family. And then if it means helping a student, they'll go out late at night and be able to talk to the student for an hour or two. This is mufkar lakol. This is being able to give to other people. However, we now come to, and they're not obviously exclusive, to aspect number two of being mufkar lakol. And that is the Tiva Torah, Rav Gamliel, Rabinovich, 14c, Limud Gadol Shanukad. Our rabbis teach us something very great. She'im Adam Rotzeh Liskot V'Latzlich V'Torah. If you want to be successful in Torah, the greatest skula is liyot ba'anava v'shiflus ruach, is to be with humility. Just like a midbar is open and ownerless and anyone can come, that's a person who has anivus, who has this humility. It's open to anyone. It doesn't stand on their ego and self. And indeed, Rav Chaim Shulevitz Atzal, Sichos Musar, points us out that the second hachana, he brings three major preparations that Klal Yisrael had before receiving the Torah, Tshuva, Achdus. The middle one is Vayachanu Bamidbar. which is tikkun amidos, particularly the midah of gaiva. When a person makes himself like a midbar, then when a person, as the Yerachaim HaKadosh says, it's a mashbil atatzmo, he knows how to lower himself. It's not about, oh, my opinion is always right, and you always have to listen to me, but you're ready to hear others, and you're ready to move forward. Such a person is able to receive Torah, to be a vessel for Torah. Listen to this idea in 16, it's beautiful. La'olam ye'adam ra'ach ka'kadah. The Gemara in Tanis tells us, a person should always be soft like a reed, va'yekashe ka'erez, and that's strong, like a cedar tree. V'hayni shuchel lachuf atzmo b'fnei acharim v'lo atel dato b'fnei ritzon chaveiro. You know what it means to be soft? It means that I have the ability to have achana. I'm able to listen to what my friend says and able to say, hey, you know what? I didn't understand it correctly. Thank you for showing it to me right. Wow. Now I get it. To be able to be open. V'lo yekashe k'erosh sheino yechol lachuf kovato b'shum panim. And not someone saying, no, it can't be. I must be right. V'osifu sham v'lofichach zacha k'na Kanel litol hemenu kumnis. Tobel sefer Torah tefillah mezuzos is gevaldik. You know how important the midah of anivus is? And it's described as a reed which bends in the wind, that the quill to make the sefer Torah and tefillah is made from a reed. Because that's the prerequisite of learning Torah. The prerequisite of Torah is humility. The prerequisite of Torah, the way it's written, it reflects this, is being able to be open to hearing from other people. And indeed, the Maarchei Lev, the Chochman HaMatzpun quotes in Surah 17, says, listen to what we say in our davening every day in Elokai Nitzor. We say, Nitzor Lashoni Meira, in the bracket, watch, guard my mouth from speaking evil. V'satai min daver mirma, my lips from speaking falsehood. Vila mekalalai nafshi tidom, and those who curse me, my soul should be silent. I shouldn't be standing on my pride all the time. V'nafshi ka'afar lakol tiyeh, and let my soul be like the dust of the earth, which again means I don't. Again, this is not being a shmata. Listen to what it means. It means that I'm not always standing on this is my kavod, and I always have to be right. But you're ready to be able to have that humility. And then what do we say? Only then we then say, Psach libi b'sarasecha mitzosecha tirdof nafshi. Open up my heart to Torah and allow me to run to mitzvot. Because this is what it's about. You first have to be a level like a Moshe Rabbeinu of anivus. And once you have that humility, once you have that ability to listen, to learn, to integrate, v'nafshi kafar lakol tiyeh, and you're not standing on your honor, then you're open to Torah wisdom. And he explains this, and we'll develop this a little bit more soon, my friends. In order to be Zoche for Torah, you have to be a Beit Kibul Torah. You have to be open and receptacle. To the extent you feel the Ani in you, so then you have been mitzamsem. You have constricted the amount of kli, the amount of vessel that you have, and therefore Torah can't come into you to the same extent. So if all day you're thinking about self, 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 ego, 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 where's their place for Torah? Where's their place for God? You know, I'm thinking about this one said about me, I can't believe that one said this to me, and that one didn't smile at me, can you imagine that one didn't stand up for me, for my kavod, he should stand up for me. You're so involved in self. How can you have any room for Torah to enter into you? Rabbi said this is a very, very important battle that we have, not only in learning Torah, but in living a Torah life. Rabbi Tatz in World's Mass, we've seen this piece before at 19, speaks about that this is really the struggle from moment go, where Adam HaRishon was about, it was about his ego. It was about making space for God and asserting himself. I must be independent. I must act. I must be the builder of my own life. I must not sacrifice my independent self for self into melting to something greater than myself. I will do anything to remain myself. I shall not yield my will. In the bracket, and here is the paradox. I love this line. While man asserts his independence, he is nothing, merely a small bundle of protoplasm asserting the scope of his smallness. But when he knows his independence, negates his ego, he melts into the reality of a greater existence and thereby achieves real existence. And not merely existence as an unidentifiable part of the greater whole, no, existence as a great human being. Moshe was perhaps the greatest human who ever lived, and Torah clearly indicates the reason. He was the humblest who ever lived. He was able to completely annul his independence, become totally attached to the Creator. And the result was not that he disappeared, but that he became the most famous individual who ever lived. And that's our job. A true servant in 20 in the asterisk is not an empty shell of a human form, whom all content has been drained, a mechanical, bland being who lacks all will and interest. No. A truly valuable servant is one who burns with motivation, whose will is powerful and unshakable. But he makes his will his master's will, because there's no difference between his master's desires and his own. And that's what we have to work up. When we're so totally engrossed in self and in ego that's separate from Hashem's will, then we are just, you know, exerting the smallness of our independence, of our pluripotent. Who are we? The greatness of a person is to be able to understand their place in the larger perspective of this world of being an Eved Hashem. Rav Chaim Friedlander himself, Siftei Chaim, develops this in a gewaltic essay, and I want to highlight some points. And he says, the Torah 22 is Seichel Eloki, is divine. Like, how can my minuscule human brain be able to take in Hashem's Torah? Like, it's impossible. Like, if you think about it, how can we even understand anything that we're saying, any learning? It's not fathomable. Midat hanava hi amavtech luzachech et hasechel doshi dedav luzakot lekabel et hasechel oki. What enables me to be a kli? What enables me to learn Torah, to be able to wrap myself around the mitzvahs of the Torah, Ritzon Hashem, the will of God, to make myself space where I bring in and allow Hashem's will and wisdom to be infused within me? Because it's not about me. I'm limited. Hashem is limitless. And he says this so clearly. He says, we'll do it in 24. It's gewaltic. He says, the asterisk. A baal gaiva, a person who's haughty. Lufi erech ha-chashivut shu madila tatzmo, but zegufa magbila tatzmo. The greater he thinks he is, the more limiting he makes himself. Why? Sherap yitzirah miyuchedet ye'el oli nahek. Well, he can only act a certain way, and he can only be with certain people, and he can only speak in a certain way. A person like this is limiting himself, and obviously Torah is going to be limited on how much can be put into him. We know people like this, or maybe you've heard of people like this. I hope you don't know people like this. And that is, you know, it's beneath my dignity to sit at that table with those people. I wouldn't do that. He's limited himself. He can't sit with those people. He can't talk with those people. You want me to take out the garbage? Me? Why? Right? You know, the Rebbe of our shul, of Eish Kodesh, is such a prime example of this. He is, b'chasdei Hashem, a person of such anivus that people don't even know. He's the one who cleans the whole shul. He's the one who throws out the garbage and he prepares everything. And he goes shopping for the kiddush of the shul. He does everything. Why? Because a person who doesn't stand on his laurels, well, I'm the Rebbe of the shul, like, you know, you do this for me and you do that for me. It's not about me. It's about, let's make a makom of kedusha, of Torah, to be able to bring kedusha into this world. And we know that famous story, I forgot which Rav it was, who was cleaning, making sure that there was tissues in the bathroom, Erev Yom Kippur, going from stool to stool. And that was mashpia on a person to become a chozer b'tshuva, nailing in the nails on the benches so that women shouldn't rip their stockings and be upset over on Yom Tov. When you start thinking this way, me, I'm going to put in tissues in the bathroom? Me, you want me to be nailing down the hammer nail? When a person says, it's not about my kavod, whatever brings kedusha and kvod shamayim into this world I'm ready to do, that person's going to be a kli kibul for Torah. And that's why the Maharal says that lama nimshalu divrei Torah lamayim in 24, why is Torah compared to water? Just like water goes from a high place and is able to enter into the small crevices, so too Torah comes from a high place, but is given to those who are in those crevices, who are ready to be able to take in Torah. And he notes here, that's the idea of Adam ki amos bawa, when a person dies in the tent, that pasuk we just saw, klomar, shu memid et ha'atzmo, Adam ki amor, it's not talking about, X person who dies, it's Adam ki amor, you have to kill yourself. The shorish hara hu kishadam choshev al atzmo, ech l'gadlo v'hatilo. The worst part is when you think that you have it all, when you're able to limit that part of you, then you're able to be a person who's going to be Mekabel Torah. And he notes here in the Arrow 25, the sheif of a person, the desire of a person from a young age, is to be independent. I don't want to be dependent on anybody. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to make it. And they think that the more money they have and the more prominence they have, the more independent they are. I have a little secret to tell you. Says Rav Friedlander Zatzal, Ulam ha-emes einokei. Kechol shadam sho'ef yoter lemdav kavod, the more you want honor, presence, wealth, hu naseh pachot etzmei, you become less dependent. You become more dependent. Less independent, more dependent. Yoter talui mishubar lenesibot ha'olam hazeh, because you're dependent on this world. You're dependent on people for your honor. You're dependent on physical things in order to give you a sense of stature and cover. You're not independent. You want to know where it really comes from? When you're not focused in on these things. Where your most important thing in life is not what people think about me, but how can I be the best Eved Hashem? And in our door, this is what we have to think about. We have to be able to recognize umimidbar matana, that the way to reach from the desert to the matana, to the dessert, to the gift, is not to be focused in on self, to be able to be open. I'm ready to learn from everybody. Even if the Rav is 20 years younger than me, I'm going to hire a rabbi 20 years younger than me. What do you think? If he's a worthwhile candidate, and he's a Ben Torah, and he's honest and erlich, and he asks the shaylos, so then why not? Are you open? Are you Macy Matsuo Kamidbar? This is where it's at. They put you at a table that's beneath, in your mind, dignity at a chasna. Do you say to the Baal Simcha, I think you made a mistake? Do you leave the Simcha because how could you sit with these people? You're never going to be a person who's going to be a Kabbal to Torah. When you're ready to learn from everybody. And again, Rabbi Simachlos is such an example this year. Get the book, read the story. You'll get the shir in a much more richer way. Everybody is special. Everyone is wonderful. I can learn from everybody. And this is what, in 26, the Maharal speaks about. He, in the squiggly, this is addressed to Rav David Hofstadter. The Torah is a spiritual entity while man is a physical entity. Their nature is to oppose one another until one overcomes the other. Therefore, the Torah cannot reside within a person who's steeped in physical pleasures. This is what Chazal mean, only if a person kills himself over Torah study will he make a permanent acquisition of its wisdom. By subduing his body's physical nature, a person makes his spirit the dominant aspect of his existence. What is really important in your life? Is it your kavod? Is it your house? Is it your furniture? Or is it to be a person who's able to give to the community? What are you spending your time on? What are you spending your focus on? Me, me, me? Or how can I be the best Eved Hashem? Again, Kedusha, separating from that ego. And indeed, in this case, my friends, what is the matana? What is the gift? So that Shraga points out in 26 and 27. We think it's something I don't have, and God's bringing me a gift. Yep, it's going to come down from heaven. The truth be told, he says that the gift is not something new. It's already found in you. And it's being able to find that part of you within you. We all have. Take it from the Kisei HaKavod that's found in each and every one of us. Then why aren't we all walking around with our face shining from this spiritual gift? Why don't we just break the bounds and create greatness, each and every one of us? Double underline, and gezot. It's because we're found in a physical body, and the physicality is what blocks this light from coming down inside of a person. And that is what the Midbar does. The Midbar enables the person to have perspective. It sheds some of those layers of physicality. It sheds some of those layers of ego. It sheds some of those layers of all I'm thinking about all day and night. It's me and what I can gain and what I can do in life. It sheds that. And when those layers are shed, then the darkness begins to lessen, and the inner light, the inherent Kedusha found within me, is able to come forth, is able to shine forth. And that gift will then be so apparent, and then we'll be able to realize, oh my gosh, how much I have in me that I can give and I can do, and I didn't even realize it. So my friends, we've seen two levels, now we'll look at the third. I left the third for last because it's one of my favorite ideas. Idea number one, what is Midbar Matana is about? It's about a teacher, and really every human being, every Jew, is about bringing Kvod Shamayim in this world, bringing God's presence in this world. It's not about thinking all night about me and my family. Yes, my children are part of Klal Yisrael, but there's a larger Klal Yisrael as well. I need to know how to balance that. I need to know how to step out of myself. I need to be a Yoshua who's going to be concerned mid Adam L'Chaveiro and how I can help another person and that they can be able to learn Torah better. They can live a Torah lifestyle better. I have to be dreaming and thinking, how do I build hospitals? How do I build chesed organizations? How do I, give workshops for teachers. How can I make this world a better place? And each and every one of us can do it. It's not about having our name on the project. It's not about the kavod. It's about being able to step outside of self. It's about being mufgar kamitba. It's about having the anivos. It's not about the ego. It's about quelling the ego. It's about making room for Hashem. It's about making room. Because the more I have, the less room there is to bring godliness in and the light in. The more I open the space, the more I open the expanse of self and diminish self, the more light can come in, the more light can come out, the more I feel godliness, the more Torah I'm able and Torah lifestyle I'm able to live. The third level, the Ber Moshe, the Usher Rav Rebbe, and Siva Shalom, Solomon Rebbe, Zetzel, basically say the same thing. And they say, let's start with the Usher Rav Rebbe, 33 asterisks. Obviously, a midbar reshit is hefker. It is about being ownerless and that you're just able to give. But there's another area. A midbar is the aspect of desire, of yearning, of longing. As David HaMelech says, Samalacha nafshi, kamalacha besari, how my soul yearns for you, how my body yearns for you. The Eretz Yav Ayev Beli Mayim, in this land that is desolate without water. And he speaks about, the Medrash speaks about, that just like in a desert, you yearn for water. I need to, I need to just drink something. Just, it's beyond. That's how I should feel about Torah. What does it mean a person should make themselves a midbar? It means they should have the yearning like one has in the midbar for water. One should have that yearning for Torah. As the Nesiv HaShalom speaks about, She'ein divrei Torah nivla'im b'leiv hadam el b'ishu ayef aleihem. Torah is only found in a person who tires over them. Hainu b'leiv hatzamein mishtokek l'divrei Torah, that you just desire Torah more than anything. And that's the idea of Mimibar Matana. And this is what we're talking about here. That a person should always be saying, I want to learn some more. Even if you heard the idea, even if you learned it before, the way the person is going to give it over, the nuances, you're learning more. Not to step back and say, I've been there, done that. Again, this idea. But your whole idea should be to see my own desire, thirst. And he quotes here the idea, the asterisk in 32, you want to know what the worst condition is? If you're complacent and apathetic where you are, and you always want to stay where you are. To the extent that we awaken this desire from below, Hashem will give us. Hashem will give us from above. And this is true in notes as well. One of the major themes of Siva Shalom's Indian of Shabbos. Shabbos is also about that. There are people who love Shabbos, look forward to Shabbos. Ashrei Choko. Akam Nisheinu Markish Shabbos. L'chol apachot yorer tshuka v'tzimao l'arkish noma Shabbos. Even if you don't feel Shabbos, you should want to feel Shabbos. As we say in that beautiful Zemer, that tune of Rav Aaron Carlin, I say to any person who wants to have hana, pleasure in this world, just have to listen to Kach Sof, that tune of Rav Aaron Carlin. We're Kach Sof, Ka'ayel Tarog, Alafi Kemayim, Ke'nafshi Tarog Elecha, L'kabel Noam Shabbos. That's what it's about. I desire Shabbos, even if you don't desire. Even if you don't have a desire for Shabbos, I desire to have a desire for Shabbos. It's already a desire. Let's take this one step deeper, my friends. What is this desire all about? Rav Pinkus at Psalm 34 in Tiferet Shimshon notes the following. The only bracha in Shmoneh Esrei that we really have an introduction for is the bracha of Das, of wisdom. We say, Atah chone la'adam Das. You give to man knowledge. Chaneinu mi'itcha de'a bina v'asko. Give us as a gift. Chaneinu mi'itcha. Matnat chinam. Give us a gift. Why? Because the whole idea of what Chochmah is about is recognizing that all of our learning is a gift from Hashem. Yesh latim hakdama shel matnat chinam, ubildei lanu et ota zchut shehayta matan Torah, netinat haTorah tamid tehiyeh bechinam. What does it mean that the Torah was given when we began with for free? It means that I realize it's a free gift. Like Moshe Rabbeinu sat for 40 days and he wasn't able to really master, he couldn't understand Torah until Hashem says, you know what? I'll give it to you like a kal. I'll give it to you like a gift. The matnat chinam. We ask Hashem, you give it. Chaneinu meitcha. Please, Hashem, give it to me as a gift. Part of what Torah is about, and again, as we spoke about, it's sechel olki. It's so divine. There's no way I can get it. I have to ask Hashem for it. But I have to want to ask Hashem for it. I have to want to desire it. I can't just say, oh, who really cares? No. Hapula Yechida, the arrow in 35. Shaitam Yitzad Klai Yisrael B'matan Torah. What was the difference between Klai Yisrael and all the other nations? Was one, Ratzon V'Yisorus L'Kabel L'Torah. Nasa B'Nishma, we're ready to hear Torah. V'Kevan Sh'Ratzu B'Choma Adam Et HaTorah. Niftechu L'Mayin HaSator V'Chochma. Because they wanted to hear Torah, the gateways of Torah were open. Avodah Klais of a Kavod Satori Tarak Lurtzopa Matana B'Torah. We call it Zman Matan Taratenu, the time of the gift of the Torah. It's a gift to us. Our job is to want it, V'lahach Shiva, and to appreciate it, and to be able to utilize it like any gift, of any precious gift, to its ultimate. And this Rav Uri Weissblum, the Mashkiach of Nachlas Levim in Haifa, in Haros Derech, notes this, and he says in 36, if a person has a she'ifa to get, a desire to a certain level, and he knows from the start it's going to be difficult to get there, if he really desires it, he will be able to withstand the challenges and be successful. And one will know how successful his desire was, depending on how successful he is. So if a person sets themselves up with a desire to do X, and after a day they collapse, then you know their desire wasn't such a great desire. If they last a month, it was a higher level of disaster. If their desire, not disaster. And if they're able to persevere and actually accomplish it, you know their desire was very strong. Briyahi Yeshva Ayin. This is something from nothing. And that is that the sechel and the nefesh are limited. How do you reach above that? Bezrat koach haratzo. 37, dvarim shem lamala min asecha, musugalu lasigam bekoach haratzo. The only way to get things above the sechel, above the natural order, is through desire. And he says, if a person at 38 sits down and does a cheshbon nefesh, says, okay, you know what? I really need to improve. Oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. How can I ever do this? You know what? Close the door right now. You just go home. You're not going to get anywhere. But if a person sits down and says, yes, this is overwhelming. I want to do X. And I realize, like, I don't even know where to begin. And then I step back and I say, okay, first step is, how strong is my desire? That's what I need to work on. I really, first and foremost, need to work on my Ratzo. Ratzo, same letters as Sinor, as a conduit. I really, and Svazema speaks about, we've spoken about so many times, the Ratzo is the only thing really in our hand. The rest is all Siyata Dishmaya. As he says here, the way you want to go, Hashem is going to help you. But you have to want to go somewhere. You have to want to accomplish something. What you really have to want is a desire to be able to overcome all obstacles. That's really where the avoda is. Once you've worked on your desire, then it's a gift from heaven. That's when midbar matana, when you've become a midbar, in terms of the tzimaon, the desire. Like in a desert, you yearn for water, so do you yearn for Torah and a connection with Hashem, and to live a Torah lifestyle, to create a Torah lifestyle in your home. If this is what you want to bring Shechina into your home, you want to bring Kedusha into your home, you want to bring Simcha into your home, whatever Mita you want to bring into your home, instead of saying, oh my gosh, how could I ever do this? You say, well, this is really, really what I want to desire, then you know what? I'm going to think of ways. I'm going to ask advice. And even though I'm going to get the rolling eyes of the teenagers, oh, mom's up to this now, I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to continue, and I'm going to go ahead with it. And this is the idea of Endover, maybe Sam Rutzon, Asim, Zar, Kadosh, intimates there's nothing that stands in the way of Ratzo. And we say this every day. Open up your hand, and there's many ways of interpreting this, and Hashem will satisfy every living being Ratzo in Ruchnias, in spirituality. Every person based on their desire. It's a very interesting idea. Rav Emanuel Bernstein, the Sefer on Agadah 44, brings down. When the last psukim by Mamet Har Sinai says, and the vision of Hashem's glory, 44, was like a consuming fire at the top of the mountain. What is this description of a fire? So the Ksava Kabbalah notes that not everyone received the Torah in the same way. It was very much based on preparation. In the same way that not every single person prepared to exactly the same degree, so too not every person experienced the giving of Torah in the same way. Those who prepared themselves more received more. Those who prepared less received less. And then the paragraph that we don't have, we don't have space, he notes the following. This is the idea of fire. He says, when fire comes down, it depends on the material, whether it's combustible or not. So a paper will go up in fire 1, 2, 3. A log will go up in fire, will take a little bit more time. A stone will be impervious, really, to the fire. The question is, where are we? What is our material? If we are material that wants to burn with desire and closeness to Hashem, we really prepared ourselves, and we really want to have this relationship, there's nothing stopping us. It's going to be a massive fire. And if it's hard to prepare ourselves, and we're closed, and we don't have that ratzo, so the fire is there, the siyata d'shmaya is there, but it's not going to impact us. It's not going to have the same effect, because we haven't been the kli kibul, we haven't been the receptacle. And that brings us to our final idea. On this third level, the first level again, being open for the community, being brainstorming about the community, thinking beyond yourself. On the second level, the midbar is about anivus, about humility. The more space you take up, the less room there is for Torah to enter. And a person really needs to have humility to be able to learn from everybody, to be able to grow with others, not to just stand on your laurels, so to speak. At the third level, you need to be a person with desire, with ratzon. You want to be a midbar? You want to have the matana from Hashem? You want to have siyata d'shmaya, help from above? You want this fire, this heavenly fire to inspire you? You want to live an inspired life? So you need to be a material that's going to be inspirable. I'm not sure that was English. You need to be a material that's going to be able to be caught on fire. With this, we can appreciate Rav Freifeld's Tzitzel in Search of Greatness, where he says, a person begins their avodas Hashem. They begin growing. You've reached the rung of the ladder. If you're serious, if you want to grow out of your pettiness and your smallness, if you want to become a big person, this is how you do it. You reach one level, you work at it, you integrate it into your being until it becomes part of you. It could be a midah, it could be tefillah, it could be learning, whatever it is. Until it becomes second nature. Then it's time to move ahead to the next step. You don't stop and sit back on your laurels congratulating yourself what you've accomplished. No, you don't do that. You move ahead. You immediately go to work on the next step. But Jews are realists. and are likely to raise objections. It's too much. I can't do this. I'm a practical person, not a dreamer. I'm not going to become a saint. I know I'm not going to set the world on fire. I don't want to delude myself. I've done enough. What's the point of going on? So the Chovos HaLevavos says, V'yichsof od libo, od bilibo. You should desire a little more in your heart. That's the midbar. That's the ratzon. Even if you say you can't do it, at least try to do something more. You have a heart, you have emotions, so let's let the feeling come over you and find it in yourself to desire to just be a trifle better. That's all we're asking of you. You want it, desire it. Without desire and aspiration, we are no more than clumps of earth. So regardless of what will actually happen, at least have the desire for each next rung. And what will happen then? The next two lives of Chovos HaLevavos are so astounding that they'll turn your mind upside down. You've achieved something. You've moved a few micrometers up the ladder. And now you're sitting back and taking stock. You're ready for the next step. It's in your heart. You found yourself the maturity and earnestness to reach a little higher, to become a trifle better. You want to come closer to Almighty. You want to emulate His characteristics. So you're ready. So what do I do now? Asterisk. So Chovos HaLevavos says, you should think about it, and you should ask the Almighty to help you and give you the strength to accomplish something that is beyond your capabilities. The Chovos HaLevavos is teaching us how to daven. What happens when you daven? Just because you roll out of bed and say the words of the siddur, does that mean you're really davening? Your davening has to have a neshama. It has to have a heart. It needs sinews and veins and flesh and bones. It has to have a pulse. It has to have life. So Chovos HaLevavos is telling us that if you're serious, you want to grow and you want to be a bigger person, you should daven to the Almighty and ask Him for help. You should say to Him, 42, listen, Rabbosai, listen to this. I'm limited. I only have a limited amount of strength, a limited amount of understanding. The world is a dark place full of inscrutable mysteries. I don't know how to navigate through it. I don't know how to relate to myself. I don't know how to relate to my family, to my friends, to other people in general. I don't know how to communicate. The world is screaming, but I don't understand what it's saying. We talk and blather all day, but we're not really talking to each other. Our words come out of our mouths stillborn. It's a terrible tragedy. We don't know how to open our hearts to each other. What should I do? I'm limited. I need your help. I need you to give me strength. And this, my friends, this idea really brings the whole shir together. When you feel like, I just can't anymore. You feel like, I'm trying to open myself up to others. It's hard. I'm trying to have a desire. It's hard. What do? You daven. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, the Almighty will grant you your request. When you daven, He'll open up the gates of wisdom and knowledge for you. V'yechazek sichlo, and the Almighty will strengthen your intellect. V'evarav la'amo b'matzavo, and your physical body, so you'll have the wisdom and strength and stamina to rise to the next level that you desire. Asher lemala miyecholto, even if it's beyond your capabilities at this moment, it will not always be beyond your capabilities. Madrega achar madrega, He'll help you rise from level to the next. When you're a midbar, you get a matana, you get a gift. The gift, the dessert, is being able that Hashem should help you reach beyond. You don't feel you have the time, suddenly you will see the things that you thought take a lot of time, don't take time. Instead of running to 15 stores to find the greatest sale, you'll see it on the first store, and you'll save all that time. These are the things that are lamala minateva that Hashem can do when we are ones who are ready to give to others. He expands our time. He reorients our lives. What form will that help take? Says the Chovos HaLevavos, when the one who wants to learn reaches out for wisdom, he'll discover in his heart a power that a person cannot achieve on his own without divine assistance. This is the power of wisdom and insight that's within the reach of every single person. This is what we spoke about before, that light, that energy that Drago was talking about. All he or she has to do is to ask the Almighty for it. We have to daven for it. That's what it takes. They can measure your intelligence from today till tomorrow. That's not what it depends on. It depends on your tefillah. And that, my friends, is the bracha that I leave all of us with. One line in the Medrash is teaching us worlds and worlds of hashkafa. Umimibar matana, Kevan shoseh adam et atzmo kamidbar shu mufkar lakol Torah nitna lo b'matana. When we expand ourselves, when we go out to help others, when we push ourselves above and beyond, when we don't think it's humanly possible, when we have the humility to be able to learn from others and be able to realize our mistakes and be like that reed that's able to bend, when we have that simoh, when we have that passion, when we have that yearning and we have that desire, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we have made ourselves to the best of our ability into a midbar. Now what we're asking from you is a matana, is a gift. It's the gift of being able to infuse us with that wisdom, infuse us with that time, infuse us with that ability, infuse us with those kochos and nefesh, with those strengths that are beyond us to even fathom that we have, and then we'll be able to discover that within us were all of these things. That Hashem enables us to see, and my bracha to all of us is that we should be able to be zocha to see all these inherent gifts within us be manifested openly as we indeed are trying to mekadesh shem shamayim, stepping outside of self to create more godliness in this world.